feel against Sansa's hold, hating how my breasts bounce with the move. I don't care who you are, Aiden, and you too, asshole, I throw over my shoulder at Xander, who's playing on his phone. Seriously? I jump my chin at Aiden. If you do anything to me, I'll report you for sexual harassment and ruin your entire future.
Damn, Frozen. You're truly fucked now.
Xander whistles.
You really shouldn't have threatened him. I thought you were smart.
Aiden tisks.
But I guess you have your stupid moments too.
Before I can ponder on that, he yanks me from his friend's hold. I cry out as I collide against his hard chest. His rough fingers dig into my bra. He retrieves my phone and throws it behind me. To Xander, I suppose. Then he grabs both my wrists behind my back, locking them in one bruising hand.
I'm out of here,
Xander says in an absent-minded tone.
Don't take long.
His casual footsteps disappear into the distance. I never thought I would want Xander to stay, but I'm ready to beg him to. He might be cruel, but he doesn't have an empty gaze like the one Aiden is watching me with. You have the phone.
So?
So let me go. I stare at his shirt, not wanting to meet his gaze.
That would be a no.
His fingers are back to my bra again, but instead of tracing like earlier, his thumb and forefinger latch onto my pebbled nipple through the cloth and he pinches. A sound claws its way up my throat, but I clap my lips shut around it. A strange heat invades my body and I hate it. I hate the tormenting sensation. I hate him. I try to struggle, but that only pushes my half-naked breasts forward, making them bounce in his hands.
Are you putting on a show for me?
He smirks. Screw you! He pinches hard again, and pressure builds behind my eyes.
Try again.
What do you want from me, damn it? He pinches again, and I bite my lower lip so hard that I taste blood. I'm all flushed, sweaty, and sticky. It kills me that I'm allowing him to have this effect on me.
So now you want to know what I want?
He tisks, lazily brushing his thumb on my hard nipple. Just tell me.
What makes you think I want to tell you now? Maybe I changed my mind. Maybe I like you this way.
My chest heaves up and down in an erratic rhythm. He's not even looking at me. All his attention is on my breasts and the scar. He doesn't break eye contact from it, like he's a child who's found a new favorite toy. He watches intently with that slight furrow in his thick brows. His suffocating interest makes me feel even more exposed than when he ripped my shirt open. I'll do it, I blurt. Tell me what you want and I'll do it. His smoky eyes finally slide up mine as he tilts his head. It's a dangerous tactic, but it's the only way to swipe his attention from my scar.
Apologize,
he says, with a casualty that negates his blackening eyes and the torturous swipe of his thumb on my nipple. Apologize for what?
For threatening me.
Hot fury whooshes through my veins like a fast-spreading fire. Enough. I'm not taking his entitled shit anymore. You're the one who's supposed to apologize to me. You ruined my life for 2 years for no reason, and now you're holding me against my will.
For no reason.
He repeats with a casualty that kills me.
Is that what you think?
Nope. No. I'm not breaking my rule. I won't try to understand bullies. Not now, not ever. I wiggle against him, stomping my feet and groaning with pent-up frustration.
You might want to stop, Frozen.
Screw you! I grunt, willing all my strength to get me out of his hold.
Keep struggling, and you'll have to take care of this.
He pushes his hips into me. Something pokes against the softness of my belly. My eyes widen and I go completely still. He's hard. His usual bored expression is gone. The star, perfect player, is gone too. Instead, there's a dark spark of sadism. He gets off on my struggle. No, scratch that. He gets off on seeing me helpless. The asshole is turned on by my weakness. Is he a full-blown sociopath? You're sick. The words leave my mouth in a haunted whisper. He lifts a shoulder.
Could be.
His fingers snake into my bra and circle a nipple. I thought it was torturous over the cloth, but having his skin against mine is complete hell. I can feel the pulse of his nerves. Or mine. And it's making me hyper-aware of everything. Of the pine scent around us. Of the rustle in the trees. The humidity in the air. And his sheer, asphyxiating presence. I screw my lid shut, not wanting to feel whatever sensation that's crawling up my spine. His touch is bruising, uncomfortable, even. But there's a flash of something going through me that I can't identify. No one has ever touched me this way before. And I hate that Aiden King is the first to invade my body.
Do you like me hard for you?
He asks in a nonchalant, almost amused tone. Of course not. Are you crazy?
Then why aren't you giving me what I want? Because the more you resist, the harder I'll get.
Go fuck yourself, Aiden. I stare at him straight in the eyes. I won't let you break me. It's false bravado. I'm scared of this monster. After what he did today, I honestly don't know how far he'd go. However, after my parents' death, I vowed to never apologize for something I haven't done. Aiden fucking King won't make me go back to that helpless child I was.
Don't put ideas in my head.
He runs the pad of his thumb over my nipple.
It's already crowded with so many fantasies about you.
So many fantasies about me? Aiden has freaking fantasies about me?
Are you going to tell me what scares you, Frozen?
It's a taunt. His mocking way to put me in my place. Nothing scares me.
I call bullshit on that. Everyone has something that scares them.
He sounds thoughtful.
What's yours?
I lift my chin. I told you. Nothing.
You're a terrible liar, but I'll play the game. If you won't tell me, I'll find out myself.
His fingers leave my nipple, but before I can release the breath I've been holding, he trails his hand down and over my bare stomach. I suck in a crackling breath at how gentle, almost soothing, his touch is. It's the complete opposite of the devil look in his impenetrable eyes. His fingers play with the waistband of my skirt.
Are you a virgin, Frozen?
My stomach plummets with so many feelings I can't keep up with. I look away from him and stare at a tree so hard, as if willing it to go up in flames and end this nightmare. It's not prudeness that fills me. It's not even shame. This asshole actually terrifies me, and I hate myself for it. I also hate the tingles erupting at the bottom of my belly. What in the ever-loving hell are they supposed to mean? He's violating me, and I'm freaking tingling?
No.
He sounds almost disapproving.
Who did you give it up to? The biology teacher? Some loser in your previous public school?
I meet his demon eyes again. That's none of your business.
Did you like it when he plunged inside you?
He continues as if he didn't hear what I just said.
Or did it hurt? I bet you were too tight, huh? Did he tear you in one go, or did he take it slow? I bet the sorry fuck worshipped you like some goddess, didn't he? But you're not a goddess. You're frozen. I bet he didn't know you have an icy heart when he was giving you foreplay and taking it easy on you. Did you bleed all over his dick or on the sheets? Did he get you off, or did you have to fake it? Or maybe...
Shut up! My face burns at the crudeness of his explicit words. What type of person has so many questions about how someone lost their virginity? Worse, why did his expression darken with every question, as if he's pissed off? Aiden's hand plunges inside my skirt and he slaps my thighs apart. I cry out. My heart shrivels into a black hole. Aiden, what are you doing?
For the last time, it's King.
His face is completely blank except for the slight smirk.
You said you'll report me for sexual harassment.
What?
It's your lucky day. I'm making the report come true.
You can't be serious. My voice cracks.
Have I ever joked with you, Frozen?
I struggle against him. My heartbeat increases with every second that I can't budge away. Aiden, stop it!
Wrong name.
He hums, his finger teasing the hem of my boy shorts. My throat closes the more his fingers invade the inner part of my thighs. The more I try to close my legs, the harder he slaps my thighs apart. My walls crumble, and I can feel myself losing and crashing to pieces by him. I suck a breath into my lungs and try to level my tone. Uncle Jackson always told me that the best negotiating method is to be confident, even if it's only the fake type. If I show weakness, Aiden will only lunge towards it like a shark to blood. My best bet is to be calm, no matter how hard that is. King! I blurt. Are you happy now? He smiles with approval.
Not really, but you're learning.
So?
So what?
I called you by your stupid last name. What else are you waiting for? Hail to the king? He chuckles.
Let's save that for another day.
As if there ever will be another day with this bastard. However, I smile. Fine. Now screw off.
You know...
He trails off.
You really play stupid moves.
What?
When your opponent charges for the attack, you're supposed to stay low, not crash with him head first. You're the only one who'll get hurt.
Whatever the hell that means.
I was ready to let you go, but you pissed me off, so I changed my mind.
I watch his poker face closely. Aside from the slight twitching in his left eye, he looks peaceful to me. Not pissed off at all. But then again, what the hell did I know about Aiden's body language? He's like a fort. Impossible to climb, to peer over, or to destroy. Then change it back, I mumble.
That's not how it works.
Let me go, and I won't tell anyone, I say, in my most neutral tone.
Is that so?
His fingers draw small circles inside my thighs, and I clench my fist against the sensation. I bite back the discomfort and the freaking tingling. Yes. I only want to finish this year in peace.
What makes you think I want you to have any peace, Frozen?
He grips my sex harshly.
You were born to suffer.
I cry out at the intrusive gesture. A zap bolt straight from where he's gripping me to my entire body. Aiden is watching me with those sadistic eyes. Only now, the glint is becoming darker, hazier, stronger. He loves having this effect on me. He's getting high on it. Like a drug addict who can't get enough, he seems ready for more. The harder I refuse, the more drastic his methods become. It started with demanding my phone, then he wanted me to call him by his last name, then he wanted me to apologize. Whenever I say no, his assault becomes relentless, ruthless, remorseless. I'm provoking a monster, a full-blown monster. During my years of struggle against bullies, I learn to never give them what they want. If I acknowledge their bullying, or show them I give a damn about what they did, it gives them the incentive to push harder. Aiden is darker than the usual bully, but he's still a bully all the same. Only he doesn't want those apologies or for me to beg, or even the damn phone. He wants my struggle. He wants my helplessness. My weakness. I'm sorry, I blurt, and try to mean it. He pauses his ministrations for a second, but he doesn't release my sex. His gaze meets mine, and his left eye twitches before he presses his thumb on my clitoris above the cloth. My legs shake, and I briefly close my eyes, willing the feeling to go the fuck away. I shouldn't be affected by whatever this monster is doing.
Why did you say that?
He asks. You told me to apologize.
You don't mean it.
He leans closer and whispers in hot breaths against my ear, his voice amused.
Did you seriously think I'd fall for that, sweetheart?
Sweetheart. Sweet fucking heart. It takes everything in me not to let my anger seethe to the surface. I want to push him so badly, but I know it'll only give him the upper hand. Aiden's type gets off on hysterics. It's their driving force. I level my tone. I apologized as you asked.
Apology denied.
He muses.
You of all people don't get to play games with me.
You of all people? What the hell is that supposed to mean? You said you'd let me go. This isn't fair.
Who said anything about fair? Hmm?
How am I supposed to win if he keeps changing the rules? An idea flashes in my head. It's something I learned from old Chinese war books. When cornered, use your opponent's attack mechanism. What do you want, Aiden? I soften my tone. Tell me. There must be something he wants. If he asked me the question, then he must already have an answer of his own.
Let me guess.
He smiles without humor.
You'll make it happen.
If you let me go. It's a dangerous game, and he might decide not to play fair again.
You never cry.
He observes me, sliding his thumb back and forth over my clit. I clamp my lips against the sound, trying to claw its way through. I want him to stop, but I also want something else. What? I don't know.
Why do you never cry, Frozen?
He asks with an almost gentle tone. I want to tell him I do cry. Just not in front of him or any of his bully minions. But I keep that information to myself. If I get worked up around him, it's game over.
These eyes should be filled with fucking tears.
Aiden, seriously, what the hell is your problem?
Cry, and I'll let you go.
He deadpans.
You have to be convincing, though.
My lips part. Is he serious? I won't cry. He tightens his grip on my sex and I whimper. Pain shoots through my core along with something else I don't want to think about.
I'll be generous and give you the right for two moves. Either cry, or we can stand here all day and I'll see how far I can take your sexual assault report.
I look over his shoulder, desperately trying to find anyone. But I should have known better. Kim purposefully chooses this place because no one wanders this far in the back garden. When I stare back at Aiden, he's watching me with a strange mixture of emotions. Interest? Curiosity? Hate? I don't know what it is, but I need this freaking psychopath as far away from me as possible. If crying will push him away, then so be it.
Do you need me to count to three?
He asks. Tears don't come on demand. I can't help but snap. I'm too angry and flustered to just cry.
Let me help.
Still gripping my core, he uses my bound hands to push me back until my breasts thrust in his face. He glares at the scar as if it's a person he loathes.
This should have killed you.
His warm breath tickles against my skin, and goosebumps erupt in its wake.
You should have died, Frozen.
My nose tingles, and pressure builds behind my eyes. With a few words, he thrusts me back to my child self. To the fear, the helplessness, the unknown. He's right. That heart surgery almost killed me. But that's not the reason behind my unshed tears. It's the memories surrounding the surgery, or the lack thereof. The reason I hate the scar so much isn't because of the surgery or the non-aesthetic appearance. It's because the scar is a reminder that everything before it is blank. All I have left are nightmares and phobias, and a distant reminder that I once had parents. The scar represents that missing part of me. Before I can try to seal those emotions into their dark box, Aiden bites on the flesh of my breast. I cry out as his teeth sink into the skin, and then he sucks and bites along the scar with such animosity that leaves me breathless and terrified. It's like he wants to bite the skin off, unleash those memories, the nightmares, the smoke, and the flames, and the blood. So much fucking blood. Aiden, stop. He doesn't. He continues feasting on my skin like he's a cannibal. Everything will be out. All of it. This can't be happening. Stop. My lips tremble as tears fall down my cheeks. Aiden lifts his head. He stares at my face, at my tears, and the expression of hate that must be written all over my face. His features are expressionless, closed, impassive.
Good girl.
He finally lets me go. The space between my legs feels kind of strange when he removes his hand. My shoulders ache from how he locked my wrists behind my back. I expected him to step back and leave me be. But Aiden never acts like you expect him to. His upper body leans over and he darts his tongue out. Aiden licks the tears falling down my right cheek. My skin turns hot and cold at the same time. He moves to the left cheek, taking his time in tasting my tears. When he pulls back, he doesn't appear as shocked as I feel. However, his devil mask slips. I get my first glimpse at the real Aiden, the one he hides behind the smiles, the true form. If the smirk on his face and the manic look in his eyes are any indication, then the fucking psycho enjoyed licking my tears. A phone rings, startling me out of my stupor. He checks it and sighs like someone is ruining his fun. He gives me one last, unreadable look.
Be smart and stop making stupid moves.
More tears continue falling down my cheeks as I watch his stupid tall frame disappear behind the trees. I turn in the opposite direction and run. Chapter 5. Running in the rain steals my breath, ruins it, smashes it, nearly eradicates it. When I arrive home, my soaked clothes are stuck to my skin. My shoes are slouching. My toes are cold and stiff. Erratic strands of my hair stick to my temples and forehead, dripping all over me. I stand in our small garden, catching my breath, and press a shaky palm to my chest. My heart's palpitations grow uneven and out of beat as if protesting. I close my eyes and tip my head back, letting the rain beat down on me, soak me, rinse me. The droplets pound on my closed lids almost like a soothing caress. I've always loved the rain. The rain camouflaged everything. No one saw the tears. No one noticed the shame or the humiliation. It was just me, the clouds, and the pouring water. But that's the thing about the rain, isn't it? It's only a camouflage. A temporary solution. It can only rinse the outside. It can't seep under my skin and wash away my shaky insides. Wiping away my memories isn't an option either. It's been barely an hour since Aiden had his hands on me, all over me. I can still feel it. His breath, his nearness, his psychotic eyes. I lock the encounter deep in the darkness of my head and trudge to the entrance. I need to change before I catch a cold. Our house sits in a cozy upper-middle-class neighborhood. It's two-story and with more rooms than we need. The three of us did everything to make it as homey as possible. We planted an orange tree, a few roses. Uncle and I made sure to take care of the gardening ourselves, but lately he doesn't have time to. My movements are numb as I hit the code and step inside. The interior design has been carefully picked by Aunt Blair. Despite being minimalist, it's classy and modern. The lounge area has dark blue and beige sofas. The bookshelves are also dark blue with a touch of strength that doesn't only represent Uncle Jackson's alpha character, but also Aunt Blair's. Not bothering to open the tall French windows, I drag my numb feet upstairs. Aunt and Uncle wouldn't be around until late at night. The more their company grows, the less I see of them. Sometimes they pull all-nighters, whether in their company's office or their home one. Sometimes one of them returns to spend the night, but most of the time, they don't. I'm going to be 18 soon, and I've always acted responsibly, so I stay alone just fine. Deep down, I know they don't like leaving me alone, especially Aunt Blair. When I'm by myself or with Kim, she calls 1,000 times, even with the safe neighborhood and the alarm system. God, I can't believe I ditched school. I just couldn't sit in the same class as Aiden and pretend I was fine. For 2 years, I took pride in walking the halls with my head held high, no matter what the minions said or did to me. Today was too raw. Too deviant. Just too much. The steel will I thought I had crumbled in a matter of minutes. I always heard about people's breaking points, but I was too delusional to think I didn't have one. I discovered the hard way that I do. A breath leaves me as I step into my room. My sanctuary. I always joked with Aunt and Uncle, calling it my kingdom. The decor is cozy, with a mixture of pastel pink and black. I have my own library stacked with psychological and Chinese war books, organized alphabetically. CDs hang from the ceiling like a curtain separating my bed from my desk. The wall across the bed has 2 huge posters of my favorite bands, Coldplay and Bastille. I let my backpack drop on the floor and press play on my iPad. Hypnotized by Coldplay fills the space. Tears barge into my eyes as I strip from my soaked clothes and step into the bathroom. My hand itches. The need to scrub the filth off it fills me with an obsessiveness. I stop at the sink and wash, scrub and rub my hands together until they become bright red. When I lift my eyes to the mirror, my lips part. It's me, the witchy white blonde hair, the baby blue eyes. But at the same time, it isn't. There's a void in there, a numbness. I'm about to move to the shower when something else stops me. My scar. Several angry red marks surround it. Did the psycho leave freaking hickeys around my scar? What in the ever-living hell was going on in his defective brain? I rip my gaze away from the mirror and take the longest, most scalding shower in history. When I step back into the room, the song has changed to Good Grief by Bastille. I let the music drift around me as I climb into bed, still in a towel, and close my eyes. I fight the tears and lose. I startle awake. My hair sticks to the side of my face with sweat. Heat smothers my body and my breasts tighten against the towel. That's not all. Oh, God. My hand rests between my legs and I'm wet. I jerk my hand free as if I was caught stealing. I don't even remember the dream, so what the hell is this reaction supposed to mean? My surroundings come back into focus. The soft light from the lamp, the music I left on, the chorus from Grip by Bastille strikes deep inside me. Something about the devil having him by the arm and pulling him into the night. The neon red numbers on the nightstand read 7 p.m. I slide from the bed, willing my body temperature to go back to normal. With a deep breath, I put on my pajama shorts and a t-shirt, gather my hair in a bun, and sit at my desk. My first day at senior year started with a disaster, but nothing will take Cambridge away from me. I retrieve my books and tasks organized in Eisenhower's method and dive into it. For 30 minutes, my mind is tuned to studying. Then I start drifting. The pen grazes my bottom lip as my thoughts spiral into directions they shouldn't. Even when I want to forget, my body has a memory of its own. My body still remembers how Aiden held me, how he was hard because I struggled. My eyes still remember that dark, bottomless emptiness and disregard. If I didn't cry, what would he have done? A shudder goes through me at the thought. In old Chinese war books, it's said that the best way to understand someone is to see things from their perspective, to think as they do. There's no way in hell I'm doing that with Aiden. Depraved bullies don't deserve to be understood. After being singled out as an outcast, I thought that one day, karma would bite bastards like Aiden in the arse and he'd stop tormenting my existence and Red's. I was only fooling myself. Aiden might be a psycho, but he's a smart one. He knows when to push buttons and when to step back. He took me by surprise today. Huh, understatement of the freaking century there. He rattled me. He shook my world. He made me doubt myself. Since he kept his distance for 2 years, I never thought he'd get close. That close. I'm still all too confused about what I felt, what I feel, and whatever dream or nightmare I just had. I know for sure that he took something he had no right to take, and that I fucking hate him for it. But more than him, I hate myself for letting him take it. A knock sounds on the door. I startle, biting the pin and my lip. Ow. I smother my expression. Come in. Aunt and uncle walk inside, both of them still wearing their work suits. When Aunt Blair leans in for a hug, I stand up and remain in her embrace for a bit too long. Beneath the cherry perfume, she has mum's scent, something that resembles cotton candies and summer. I don't know why I'm thinking about that right now, when I don't even remember my mum. Today, I miss her. I miss the life that I don't remember. Reluctantly, I pull away from Aunt and hug Uncle Jackson. He plants a kiss at the top of my head. Uncle is classically handsome with brownish blonde hair and cobalt blue eyes. Although his build is above average, he has a beer belly. I called, and you didn't pick up. Aunt studies my face in that scrutinizing way that brings her clients to their knees. It's like she's detecting the lie before I even say it. Sorry, I forgot it. I called the school, she says. They said you went home? Don, I didn't think that far when I left. I didn't feel so good. Uncle Jackson looms over me, his forehead creasing.
Are you having palpitations, Pumpkin?
No. I force a smile and hope to hell they believe it. I just had a headache and wanted to come home and rest. Sorry I didn't call you. We were so worried about you, honey. Aunt smooths my hair back. I came home to check on you earlier, but you were asleep.
I told you she would be fine.
Uncle chimed in.
Where did you forget your phone?
At school. Real classy, Elsa. I'm shooting one freaking lie after the other. It hurts to lie to them, but I'd rather die than put Aunt and Uncle's company in jeopardy. Their names and Aiden fucking King's name shouldn't exist in the same sentence. Aunt continues scrutinizing me and checking me up and down like she's expecting me to collapse any second. A headache out of nowhere is suspicious. Maybe we should visit Dr. Albert.
It's just a headache, Blair.
Uncle says on my behalf. Headaches are symptoms for the nastiest diseases, Jackson. She scolds.
One of them is simple fatigue.
I'm fine, really, I chime in, not wanting them to argue. I'm just going to study for a bit and have an early night.
Dinner first, Pumpkin, and we should play a chess game.
Uncle hooks me under his arm and drags me out of the room. He asks about my first day and tells me a joke about a worker of theirs. He almost fainted when he got a phone call that his wife was in labor. Uncle Jackson has a way of lightening up the mood, and I smile along. Aunt follows, but she's not amused. She keeps watching me intently, as if trying to see through me. Once we arrive at the kitchen, I smile. Aunt, do you have time for some yoga? It helps with headaches. Hell yeah. She chuckles, then her smile dies. I'm sorry I haven't had much time for our girls' time, hun. I shake my head and say in a mocking tone, Nah, it's for the best. Too much girls' time would distract me from Cambridge. Aunt busies herself behind the counter, and I slide to an empty stool. Uncle comes behind me and massages my shoulders.
I'm going to coach you so well for Cambridge, Pumpkin.
Aunt rolls her eyes. This isn't a Premier League game, Jackson.
Ignore her.
Uncle leans in to whisper.
I've got tickets for Arsenal's game next week. Guess who's asking you on a date?
My chest flutters with excitement. I hate our school's football team. Or, more specifically, I hate the assholes who play in it. But I love the game. Uncle converted me to the dark side and turned me into a gunner. Arsenal's diehard fan. You better not be asking her to abandon her studies to go to some stupid game. Of course not.
Of course not.
Uncle and I say at the same time. Then he snorts and I can't help but laugh too. Aunt folds her arms and taps her foot on the floor. Uncle and I busy ourselves with retrieving vegetables from the refrigerator while trying to suppress our laughter. Teamwork, Uncle and I murmur to each other. For the moment, just this moment, I forget what happened today. Or I try to anyway. In the morning, Aunt drives me to school on her way to work. I kept recalling yesterday for the entire night and contemplated not showing up today. But then I had a serious angry session with myself. No one, Aiden included, will break me. My early childhood didn't, and he certainly fucking wouldn't. I just have to be smart about dealing with him. Like, avoiding the shit out of him and go back to glaring from afar. I wave at my aunt and stride into the school with my head held high like usual. The taunts begin, but I don't let them rattle me. A little voice in my head whispers at them. Run along, kids. Your little pranks are nothing compared to Aiden's depravity. Despite my pep talk this morning that gave me much-needed courage, a tremor shoots down my limbs the closer I approach the class. I'll see him again. I'll see those demon eyes. Those sadistic smirks. That dark soul. Son of a bitch. How the hell am I supposed to survive an entire year with him in the same class? To make matters worse, Kim is nowhere to be found. Since I don't have a phone anymore, I called her from the landline earlier, but she didn't pick up. I still have some time before the first class, so I head to her spot in the garden. My pace falters near the tree where Aiden trapped me yesterday. A strange awareness grips me by the throat. My body's memory acts up again. I can feel his hands all over me. I can smell him amongst the trees. I can see that soulless look in his eyes. A strong wave of hate takes over me, but that's not the only thing. Something else. Something completely immoral grips me, too. Get out of my head, damn you! My brows scrunch when I arrive at the cabin and find no trace of Kim. Like me, Kim never skips. If she did, something serious must have happened. That wanker Xander better not have hurt her, or I'll go all mama bear on his ass. I turn around and my head collides against a strong chest.
Are you here for more, sweetheart?
Chapter 6. He needs to stop calling me sweetheart, or I'll get a voodoo doll with his face on it and stab it to death. Better yet, I'll cut it limb from limb. I step back to an arm's length. If I keep enough distance, he won't be able to catch me. There's no way in hell I'll let him trap me like he did yesterday. This time, I'll either scream or run. Yep, sounds like a plan. I gulp, but it lodges in my throat like an external object. No pep talk or courage could erase the memories from yesterday. No pep talk could convince the nerves tingling with suffocating fear that I'll be fine. My limbs are screaming at me to run. Hide. Never look back. I don't. Running away from someone who gets off on vulnerability isn't the smartest thing to do. He'd chase me. Hell, I'm sure the psycho would enjoy it, too. Who'll come out victorious? Yeah, not me. So instead of flight, I choose to fight. I lift my chin, calling all the courage I have left. But the moment I meet his gaze, most of that courage falters. The thing about Aiden, he's so well put together. Perfect face, perfect body, perfect style. He doesn't even wear the tie on most days, and it still looks like the school's uniform was tailored for his firm, muscular body. His entire appearance is another asset he uses to intimidate, to charm, to screw everyone over. I even fell for that charm the first day I met him. From afar, he looked like a god. Up close, he is nothing more than a monster. Since he choked me in front of the entire school and announced he'd destroy me, I realize that his entire look is a facade. The only thing I see is the void in his steel eyes. The hate. The black rage. I don't understand how no one else notices it. Either they're too far gone under his spell, or they simply don't care. That's what it means to be king, isn't it? He can be corrupt all he wants. Hell, he can order a war that will slaughter half the nation and starve the other half, and the ones who remain alive will still chant, "Long live the king." It's not out of love. No. It's out of fear. People naturally gravitate towards power, and in Rez, Aiden is it. Last year, his older cousin, Levi King, ruled, and now that he graduated, Rez belongs to the youngest of the two kings.
You ran away from school yesterday,
he says matter-of-factly. I didn't run away. I had a family emergency. I would have patted myself if I could. That lie came out perfect. Shoving a hand in his pocket, he studies me up and down. His gaze lingers on my left breast, as if he's trying to burn a hole through my shirt. It takes everything in me not to cross my arms over my chest. His attention finally slides back to my face.
I think you're lying, Furzan. I think you were pushed to your limit, so you took the easy way out.
Guess what, Aiden? I don't care what you think.
You should. What I think will have a direct impact on your life, sweetheart.
Stop calling me that, I hiss. I'm not your sweetheart.
You are whatever the fuck I say you are, sweetheart.
Is it possible to curse someone into a dark, bottomless pit of hell? I'm not above using black magic. I just need him to bloody disappear. The earth will be a tad more peaceful. I seal my temper as I turn around to leave. He won't get to me. He won't. A strong hand clutches my arm and swings me back so hard I land flush against his hard chest. He grips me with brute bruising force.
Did I say you can go?
I struggle against him. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm not one of your subjects, Your Majesty. I don't follow your orders.
There's a start to everything.
He releases me, but only so he can wrap both his arms around my waist and rest his hands at the small of my back like we're some freaking lovers. This close, my air fills with his scent, and his body heat mingles with mine. I'm not short, but he still has height and broadness on me. Deep down, I know that size is just an intimidation factor. I push at his chest, wiggling sideways and backwards, trying to unlink his hands. He doesn't even move to stop me. All he does is keep his still-like hold. Ugh! I pant. Let me go!
Why should I, hmm?
Why shouldn't you? I counter back.
I love it when you struggle.
His eyes gleam with that now familiar sadism as he reaches up and pinches my cheek.
You should see the tint of red on this.
I go limp against him. My arms fall lifeless on either side of me, and I even school my expression into a neutral one. If he loves my struggle, then he won't be getting it anymore. Are you done? His left eye twitches. Obviously, the sick bastard doesn't like not getting what he wants, and I beat him at his own game.
I'm going to give you a valuable piece of advice. You already know what I'm capable of.
His voice is calm. The dangerous type of calm.
Don't push me.
You're the one who's pushing me. I can't believe this bastard. You're lucky I haven't reported you for what happened yesterday.
Lucky?
He laughs with a humorless edge, and it's stupid that even the lines of his face stretch into beautiful angles. Someone pour acid on his features.
I don't know if you're trying to be adorable, or if you're that naive.
What is that supposed to mean?
You think you can hurt me, hmm?
He clutches my chin with his thumb and forefinger, angling my head back so he can invade my face with his intrusive gaze. My heart palpitates harder and faster. No matter how many tactics I come up with, no matter how much I like to think I have control over this situation, I don't. And my heart recognizes the danger. The void. The black hole. My rigid spine also recognizes the tingle of fear. The need to run and hide. The need to never be found. A side of me I fought to keep buried is rising, crawling, and resurrecting to the surface. You're my masterpiece, Elsa. I briefly close my eyes against that haunting voice from the past. When I open them again, the eerie voice disappears, but Aiden's steel expression remains. Damn him and how easily he can poke open that part of me. I kept it buried for more than 10 years, but he's slowly letting it loose in a matter of 2 days. Maybe I can. My voice sounds a lot calmer than I feel. What do you even know about me?
A lot more than you think.
He squeezes my jaw so hard I wince. I swear to God, either let me go or...
Or what?
His features spark with the promise of a challenge.
You can't do fuck to me. Let me put it this way. If I murder you, Coach will burn the corpse and the principal will scatter the remains. If I commit a crime, the school board will flip it around so it seems as if I'm the victim. You might have your head in the sand like Little Miss Ostrich, so here's a quick reminder. I'm king here.
His words sting because they're true. As long as he has the king's name, his father doesn't even have to interfere for everything to blow over. The injustice flares inside me and blurs my vision with unshed tears. Nope. I won't give him the satisfaction of seeing me cry again.
But if you feel entitled to...
The corner of his lips lift in a smirk.
If you think you can take me, then, by all means, show me what you got, sweetheart. I'm curious to see who would believe that I touched you without your consent. I can have any pussy I want. What's so special about yours?
That you can't have it. I regret the words as soon as they're out. I can't believe I just dangled a freaking steak in front of a predator.
Frozen.
He muses. My lips thin in a trembling line, and I nearly fidget in his hold, waiting for his next blow. Any moment now, he'll... Aiden releases me and steps back. Wait. He's letting me go. I cautiously watch his expression like a deer caught in the headlights. He schools his features into that poker face. For some reason, I expect him to laugh in my face and grab me again. I'm happy he's letting me go. I am. But I can't help the tinge of annoyance at not being able to read him. He places a hand in his pocket, appearing casual, almost nonchalant.
Show me the mark.
What?
You're not an idiot, so don't act like one. And show me the mark I left yesterday.
You're out of your mind. My limbs are shaking, but I turn around to run. I need to escape his space. His presence. His damn face.
If you take one more step, I'll chase you, sweetheart. And this time...
He trails off, his voice turning suffocating like smoke.
I won't stop.
I gulp audibly and stop in my tracks. A part of me doesn't want to believe he'd go that far, but who am I kidding? Aiden won't stop until he gets what he wants. With my heartbeat in a knot, I face him. Why are you doing this, Aiden?
Why do you think?
Because you can.
Because I can, huh? Interesting.
He pauses.
You are so... frozen. Did you know that?
Your minions wouldn't stop reminding me of that fact, thank you very much.
You're missing the entire point.
What point?
If you're missing it, why should I tell you?
I open my mouth to say something when he cuts me off.
Take off your shirt.
My fists ball on each side of me.
If you don't, I will. How many ripped shirts do you want to collect?
You're sick.
Do you honestly believe that's an insult to me?
I clamp my lips in a line.
Last chance. Take off your shirt.
No. We watch each other for 1 second. 2. 3. He starts in my direction. All blood drains from my face, and a tremor shoots down my spine. It's real. That look. That determination. This time he won't stop. Fine, I blurt, stepping back. I'll do it. He stops, but his poker face remains in place. He appears calm and casual. But if I take one step, I've no doubt that he'll chase me like a starved wolf. Think, Elsa. Think. A crazy idea explodes in my mind. Do it for me. I say in a neutral, almost uninterested tone. Aiden's left eye twitches. I'm sure my suggestion has taken him by surprise. He thought I'd either cower to his threat, or he'd do it by force. I'm sure the sick bastard hoped for the second option. The fact that I'm offering him to do it without the whole violence factor ought to throw him off balance. Those who give two options don't expect the third. The third option rattles them. And that's exactly what I'm betting on. He narrows his eyes.
You're trying to play a game again.
I'm just giving you what you want.
Are you now?
His tone turns stone cold. Yes.
You'll regret that.
He approaches me and reaches for my ribbon. I place both palms on his stupid broad shoulders and dig my fingers in his uniform's jacket. He pauses at my first button and searches my face. Touching him was never a part of the deal, and he must be wondering why I'm doing it willingly. I don't know if he hates it or loves it, but I don't give him or myself time to think about it. I lift my knee and hit him in the crotch. Hard as I can. His face contorts and his hands shoot out for me, but I duck and run past him. A huge grin pulls on my face. I just need Aiden fucking King in the balls. Chapter 7. I kicked Aiden in the balls. I kicked Aiden fucking King in the balls. My feet skid to a halt at the threshold of the classroom. I'm panting. My hands are sweaty. The wave of adrenaline vanishes from my system, leaving a tremor in my limbs. My shoulders shake with suppressed laughter. If I didn't worry that my classmates would start calling me a lunatic, I would have laughed so loud right now. I want to run, jump, and bump fists with myself. It's a strange type of freedom that I haven't felt in, like, ever. I was always quiet and introverted, but right now, I feel like I can punch the moon and kick the stars. With a deep breath, I push my shoulders back and stride into the classroom with my head held high. Some snickers and frozen remarks get thrown in my direction, but they're like white noise. These little minions can give me their freaking best and it wouldn't matter. I just kicked their king. In the nuts. I'm smiling inwardly when my gaze falls on the other three demons. Cole is sitting at his desk, reading his physics book. Xander sits on top of the desk arguing with Ronan, who's standing. The rest of the class are either trying to get in on the conversation or they're watching. The sad part is, I think they're doing it subconsciously. They're drawn to everything the four horsemen represent. Power, charm, wealth. Ronan is death, because he's an impenetrable rock in the midfield. Cole is famine, silent but deadly when he attacks. Xander is war. All he knows is how to wreak havoc. And he did something to Kim, because even now she's not here. Kim was never late to school. It could be my false sense of courage or the remains of adrenaline still buzzing through my veins, but I don't stop to think about it. I grip my backpack strap and stride towards the trio.
I'm telling you, mate.
Ronan taps his index finger on the table in front of Xander.
She came to the party because of me. Everyone came because of you,
Cole says.
You threw the party, remember? La ferme, Captain. That's not the point.
Ronan continues speaking to Xander.
Face it, she was there for me. If it helps your ego, sure thing.
Xander laughs.
Can you pass me what you smoked last night?
Ronan frowns.
Why? That shit is good if it makes you believe things that don't exist. Screw you, Knight.
Ronan lunges at him. In that exact moment, Cole's neutral gaze meets mine. He clears his throat, and the other two, who are still bickering, grow silent.
Frozen?
Ronan jerks back as if he's been punched.
Am I seeing things, or is Frozen actually in front of us?
He searches behind me and all around me, then he grins.
Are you here to confess your love to me? I knew you always had a crush on me, but sorry, I only take confessions in the afternoon. Rules are rules.
I ignore him and face Xander. Where is she? Xander hops down from the desk.
Where's who?
Kim, I grind out.
Oh.
Xander's brows draw in feigned concern, as he searches underneath the desk.
Captain, have you seen a little Kimberly around here? No? How about you, Ro? Search a pocket. Maybe she hid in there.
Ronan makes a show of stuffing his hands in his pocket.
Nope, not here.
He smirks, fishing out a condom packet.
But I found this.
My lips thin in disgust.
Qua?
Ronan asks.
Always safe.
I'm not here for your games. I tell no one in particular.
Then what are you here for?
Xander asks. Kim, where is she?
If you don't know where your friend is, how am I supposed to know, Frozen?
I step closer, still clutching my backpack strap. I know you did something to her yesterday. He smiles like a maniac.
Do you have proof?
My nails dig into my palm until I almost draw blood.
Hold up.
Ronan steps between us.
What happened? What proof? Someone fill me in.
Cole shakes his head at him.
What? I feel left out.
Ronan kicks his friend's leg.
First, King flipped his shit at practice yesterday. Then Knight does some fuckery behind our backs. And now Frozen is speaking to us. You've got to admit that there's nothing normal about this.
Only one sentence remains playing like a loop in my head. King flipped his shit at practice yesterday. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Aiden is an exemplary player and student. He doesn't just flip his shit. Does this have to do with what he did yesterday?
Someone fill me in.
Ronan stares between his two friends.
Someone? Anyone?
Stay away from Kim. I tell Xander with as much venom as I can manage.
Or what? You'll stop me.
I'm about to reply when, unfortunately, or fortunately, it depends on how you see it, the teacher comes into the class. Everyone takes a seat, and I find an empty one near the back. My gaze meets Xander's playful one. He sits in the row beside me, throws me my phone, and smirks. I shudder. Arsehole.
Oh, look. Kimberly isn't in class.
The boastful tone he uses grates at me. Mr. Knight, the teacher, Mrs. Stone, calls. Class started. I'd appreciate it if you pay attention.
You've got all my attention, Mrs. Stone.
He gives her a dimpled smile and opens his notebook. Mrs. Stone starts enumerating the class's curriculum. I retrieve my pen and notebook and start scribbling notes. Our English literature teacher is probably the oldest in this school and will probably retire soon. Her gray hair is tied in a conservative bun, and her glasses are held by those golden straps that no one uses anymore. The door opens. The entire class falls silent. Even Mrs. Stone stops talking. I pause mid-scribble and lift my head. A flushed Kim peeks from the door, her hair in disarray. Snickers and laughs erupt in the class.
You're 10 minutes late, Miss Reed, Mrs. Stone scolds.
Kim stumbles upon her own words. I wince, feeling her discomfort under my skin. She always hated being put in the spotlight.
What's the matter, Burley? Did you lose your tongue along with the fat?
Someone taunts from the side. Mrs. Stone shoots him a glare.
Another word and that'll be detention for you, Mr. Robbins.
His face turns ashen, and I want to get up and hug Mrs. Stone. She's probably the only teacher who doesn't turn a blind eye on the bullying, at least from insignificant people like Robbins. I doubt she'd do anything if one of the elites were involved. A shadow appears behind Kim's fidgeting body. I stop breathing. It's like the earth has opened and is now sucking me into its depths to be buried alive. Aiden places both his hands on Kim's shoulders. He has his filthy hands on my friend's fucking shoulders. Not to be dramatic, but I think I'm going to throw up. His gaze meets mine, and something sparks in it. A corner of his lips lifts in a cruel, psychotic smirk. That's it. I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to sacrifice my entire future to save the world from his evil. The smirk falls as fast as it showed. Still gripping Kim by the shoulders, he flashes Mrs. Stone his golden boy smile.
I'm sorry. Kimberly wasn't feeling well, so I had to take her to the nurse.
Is he for real? I'm mortified when Mrs. Stone's expression shifts from scolding to acceptance. Are you all right, Miss Reed? Kim nods without saying a word. That was nice of you, Mr. King. Mrs. Stone offers him a smile. Both of you take a seat. My jaw is probably dropping to the floor. I can't believe this. The dark hole from earlier expands until I can hardly breathe. He must have done something to Kim, and now he's making everyone believe he was helping her.